Imagine, you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
Happy Wednesday, Cleveland! The Cavs have still yet to make any move of actual consequence in free agency, but the rest of the NBA continues to be busy. Guardians avoid a sweep today, and the Browns, well, relatively quiet, but we'll talk about them at some point throughout the end of this week. We'll have some Browns conversation definitely loaded up and happening, but a lot happening around the NBA. We got 4 hours to get to everything happening around Cleveland, around the sports world today, and it's Jake Volnick with the guys here for 4 hours from 7 to 11 on overtime. We have Michael Bohm running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Michael Markoch with us today. And I want to start with what is the big news of the last 30 minutes or so that has occurred. Maybe 45. I don't know. I've lost track of time in the back. We were prepping the show. We were talking. But it's somewhere within the last hour for sure. Jaylen Brown officially going to play for the Philadelphia 76ers, and not the return I thought that Boston was getting. I mean, we had the reports out there from Shams and everybody else said, you know, they might get the trade for Jaylen Brown basically 40 cents on the dollar. I don't know, I'd go as far to say this was 40 cents on the dollar, but two firsts, 2 seconds, and Paul George for a guy who was sixth in MVP voting last year, I would say is relatively mundane. I mean, I don't know that the Celtics got any better right now. The draft capital is pretty good. I mean, we're not going to sit here and lie about the fact that, yeah, two firsts and 2 seconds is definitely not the worst place to be getting back for Jaylen Brown, but Paul George doesn't do a whole lot for me. But obviously, this starts to then continue to reshape the way that the Eastern Conference looks. We are continuing to look at Philadelphia being a riser inside of the Eastern Conference, and I think is solidifying themselves inside of that near top four position, because you now have, I mean, if you want to put together a theoretical starting lineup, I don't know that they close off here. I don't know this is where it ends, but Tyrese Maxey, VJ Edgecombe, Jaylen Brown, Dean Wade, and Joel Embiid. Sure sounds relatively competitive, assuming that you get a healthy enough Joel Embiid to play in the playoffs, which, if we know anything, is a difficult enough thing to do. But that team is, actually legitimate. And this is obviously, I mean, even just looking back at the trade, I think there were people here that continued to look at this and say, well, I'd trade Evan Mobley for Jaylen Brown. Obviously, it was not where we stood. I have made the claim several times. I would have much rather traded Donovan for Jaylen Brown if I was going to make that move. And clearly, I don't think that Jaylen Brown was going for the price of Donovan Mitchell. I don't think he was going for the price of Evan Mobley. But it was just not something that I was forward to looking into whatsoever. And so many people making the claim that, I mean, I don't know exactly where it came from. I'm assuming that a lot of people just basing this off of Wendy's comments yesterday. But I see people on social media right now sitting here and reacting to the idea that, well, how are you going to get LeBron to come here now? Jaylen Brown was going to be the package deal. And it's like, we have no recording, no information, no reporting at all of the idea that Jaylen Brown had to be here for LeBron to get and make his way over here. Again, obviously, that is a big thing. And I think once the obviously impact on the Cavs right now is that if you weren't going to land LeBron, Jaylen Brown was a, I mean, pretty good second option is, hey, that's a guy we go after that is a wing. That, I mean, listen, he's not LeBron, but he's pretty darn good, and he'll definitely help out your team. He will make your team better. Again, maybe not in a swap for Evan Mobley, but if he's added to the roster, your team improves definitely at the three slot from where it is right now, which is pretty much Jalen Tyson. So definitely upgrade. But I still don't take a look at this and think, oh, well, yeah, I mean, sure, you missed out on a potential wing, but I never even loved the idea and the tandem of LeBron and Jaylen Brown together. Again, and that has to probably do with an Evan Mobley swap if you're going to make this thing work, and your starting lineup would have been James Harden, Donovan Mitchell, Jaylen Brown, LeBron, and Jared Allen. I mean, don't get me wrong, sounds pretty good on paper. LeBron playing the four, is, especially at this point in his career, is not the best thing on the planet. Jaylen Brown playing a pure three defensively and going to absolutely be required to guard the opposing player or opposing team's best player, also probably not the most fantastic thing on the planet. So it wasn't even an idea that I had fallen in love with, and I don't love him going over to Philly. I mean, I think it pretty much flips where we think Boston and Philly are at right now. And honestly, at the end of it, I think that Philly is a weaker team than a full health Boston team was over the past couple of years. So I probably take this swap in the East anyway. But so much of this is just, okay, like I'm not going to get upset about it. The only thing that upsets me is the fact that we are getting further and further down. I'm watching the Cavs lose potential wing after potential wing, and they basically have nobody to go after. I mean, we are banking very heavily on the idea that LeBron is going to be here. Part of me makes me want to lean into the idea that certainly the Cavs have a pretty good idea LeBron is going to be here, considering how patient and how much they've been willing to wait to go get a wing and willing to wait to add to this team. And then part of me sits there and goes, hey, if you don't land LeBron, you lost Dean Wade, you have no wings, and you are basically constricted to the idea of we're going to go get Jonathan Kuminga. And I like Jonathan Kuminga. I think he's a nice player. It's not getting you much closer to a title if he's your starting three. That's just not getting you anywhere. Like, Jonathan Kuminga is a fine player, but he has been suited off the bench, has not played a full season, mostly due to his own and Golden State's accord. But it's not a fantastic replacement, and to fill out the rest of this roster is, again, an area where I start to get a little concerned. But I don't think this was a necessary piece. I don't think it was a good fit alongside LeBron anyway. I don't think this is a move that Cleveland should be massively upset about. I think if this was a requirement to go get LeBron, you would have heard the Cavs name a ton. You would have heard the Cavs pushing for this offer. We hadn't even really heard the Cavs name dropped other than the idea of, we know the Celtics want Evan Mobley, so of course the Cavs name is going to be mentioned. And Jaylen Brown would fit on the team, right? They need a wing. It fits. But we hadn't gotten reports that the Cavs were, you know, heavily pursuing Jaylen Brown, and they were a leading team, and that Evan Mobley was ever considered in an offer. Cavs probably just pulled their hat out of the race in this one and said, okay, if that's what Philly wants to give up, you can let Philly do it. We don't want him that bad. So much more of this, so much more of my concern now leads into, again, how do you build out the rest of this roster? What does this team end up looking like? And how do you play defense? Because I think I have a lot of questions right now surrounding, even if you get LeBron, where is the ascension for the Cavs? Are you legitimately a title contender? Or are you, I mean, basically a roundabout way replacing where you have already been with the ascension happening in the East this offseason and just getting yourself right back to, oh, well, this is a top four team in the Eastern Conference. It is a top three team in the Eastern Conference. It makes you a title contender. People have said the Cavs have been title contenders for the last 4 years, 3 years running, whatever you want to attach to it. They've been in that conversation of they could come out of the East. It's, I mean, fathomable, certainly over the last 2 years that has been a part of the conversation. But I don't know that just getting LeBron raises you above that right now. And I think so much more of my concern is what you actually do with the rest of the roster, how you build this thing out. because LeBron's a great addition. The team is going to get better, but there is so much more to this thing than make your starting five look really pretty, make the names really attractive, because the Cavs have had that going for 4 years running again. Like, I mean, this year walking into the playoffs, I think a lot of people should have been excited by the idea of, oh, well, the starting five, even with Dean Wade being, you know, the less attractive name, having Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, Donovan Mitchell, and James Harden in the starting lineup, you feel pretty good about that team. You feel like that team should be one of the top teams in the East. They should be competitive. They should have a chance to go to the finals. And again, we suffered the result that we did in the postseason this year, which was an Eastern Conference Finals, but an ugly one. This is not a needle mover for me. I had planned on opening the show today before this news broke. I mean, mostly with the Windy comments and what he was saying, and basically just, I mean, very softly positing the idea of Jaylen Brown to the Cavs and LeBron to the Cavs, and maybe that's a realistic option. And basically denying the entire fact of that being something I legitimately wanted. Because I don't think that helps you. I don't know how the Cavs add to the roster other than let's just go get a bunch of veteran minimum guys who want to play with LeBron. But it doesn't actually fix your problem. The Cavs are in a situation where, yeah, LeBron is on the table, but so much more about this is building a team around LeBron and making this work alongside of him. You don't fix every single problem you have with adding LeBron. It makes you a hell of a lot better. Nobody is ever going to dispute the fact that bringing LeBron here is going to add to things. But I don't know that Jaylen Brown was the answer. Again, it's intriguing because of the name. It's intriguing because of the player that he is. But if you ever thought Jaylen Brown was going to fit on a team with LeBron here, a guy who has just complained, I want my own team. That's been the consensus for like multiple years now in Boston, is that he wants to be a number one. Jaylen Brown with LeBron here was a number three and potentially a number four. Like, it got worse for him from where he was standing in Boston. You might not ascend above, you know, Donovan Mitchell. You might not ascend, or you're certainly not ascending above LeBron James, even at age 42. You are in competition with James Harden. And Jaylen Brown wins that battle in my mind. Different, I mean, maybe he doesn't win it in Kenny Atkinson in the Cavs' mind. But he wins it for me. But still, being number three is worse than being number two. I don't think that makes him happy. Go compete for a title. He's won one of those. He's been a finals MVP. It doesn't matter. That is a Kyrie situation. And I can make an argument he didn't get it in Philly either. But I don't think it was making you happy to bring him to the Cavs. I don't think it was an absolute necessity to get LeBron here. I think if LeBron looks at this team right now and all of a sudden doesn't want to play alongside Evan Mobley, doesn't want to play alongside Donovan Mitchell, there is nothing that you are going to actually be able to concoct to make him want to be a Cleveland Cavalier again. This is the team in front of you, a team that just went to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's a good base of a roster. LeBron helps it a lot. You've done your part. Jaylen Brown was not going to be the deciding and swinging factor in that entire ordeal. 216-474-0092. Are you upset the Cavs didn't push harder in a trade attempt for Jaylen Brown? Plus, you can get to us on X at Volnick Jake, VULINEC Jake. So we can get to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. The station buzz, the most pressing thing said by our station's guests tonight, is going to be coming your way at 8 o'clock because at 7:40, we're going to talk just a little bit of World Cup. U.S. playing tonight coming up at 8. And I want to get a little bit of a feel for whether or not Cleveland and this actual country is paying attention and cares. Plus, 8:20, Danny Cunningham, Locked On Cavs, going to help break down everything happening right now. We'll talk to him about the Jaylen Brown trade. Obviously, LeBron. We got Get a Grip coming your way at 9 o'clock, as it typically does. 9:20, we're going to talk Guardians with Justin Latta, Locked On Guards. Plus, we're going to have Change Your Mind. We'll bring in Michael Markoch in the 10 o'clock hour. But right now, 216-474-0092. Are you upset that the Cavs didn't push harder to acquire Jaylen Brown? And coming up here in 5 minutes, if you do get LeBron, are you taking that as a one-year rental? One piece of information leads us to think yes. We'll break it all down coming up here on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys until 11 on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. And we're asking you, 216-474-0092, are you upset the Cavs didn't push harder for Jaylen Brown? And it's just not something that's going to bother me. Like, I mean, never wanted to trade Evan Mobley for him. Really, I mean, I would have been interested in a Donovan Mitchell, Jaylen Brown swap. but wasn't really pushing all that hard for it. Probably still would have liked to keep the team closer to as is, even though, if they would have made that deal, I would have accepted it. Had they made the Evan Mobley deal, I would have understood it to a degree. Really, I mean, if it feels like where you're at right now, which appears to be front runners for LeBron, the Jaylen Brown deal would have made even less sense to me. Like, you want to give up Evan Mobley, the defensive player, the only defensive-minded player on the floor in that starting five, to then go get Jaylen Brown. Like, again, how much can you actually lean into the idea that, hey, we're going to outscore every single team? That team is going to have a mentality that we're going to go out and put up 150 points and don't even worry about the defense. And if we've learned anything throughout the NBA playoffs over, I would say, the past 2 years, that defense really matters. And, like, it has taken more of a forefront, a center stage inside of the modern NBA than I think people were willing to give it credit for. Yes, obviously, offense is still massively important. Scoring points is probably still the number one priority right now in the NBA, but playing defense in the playoffs makes a massive difference. We watched two really good defensive teams push the Cavs 7 games that were supremely less talented than they were. And, I mean, a large
portion. Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Portion of that was because they made life difficult defensively. Certainly the Raptors. Pistons series, Cavs had some choke job issues. They also had that in the Raptors series. But, like, I mean, there were fits that were given to them defensively. A lot of things they had to attempt to overcome, had to try to work through. I mean, I think, again, you give those teams their fair credit, and that's not going away. Like, the Raptors are not going to be a worse defensive team because they got rid of Brandon Ingram. They're going to be better. They picked up Kawhi, and even old Kawhi is still a good defender. Scotty Barnes, obviously a really good defender. Most of the guys they got to keep were really solid. It's just not something I was looking for, not something I was going to push the Cavs heavily for, and not something I think was in any way necessary to try to get LeBron here. But I want to hear from you guys. Again, 216-474-0092. Are you upset the Cavs didn't push harder for Jaylen Brown? Scotty's in Brunswick. What's going on, Scotty?
Hey, good to thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
So I think with the exception, I'm happy the Cavs didn't trade Evan Mobley for Jaylen Brown, because I don't think that would have done anything for the Cavs. And honestly, looking how the Sixers, roster is constructed now, that team's young. They want to move. Mm-hmm. Embiid's going to slow them down. And I really don't think they got all that much better. And I think when you're LeBron, looking, you know, where do I want to go? The East, West? Do I want to go to Cleveland? The East, in my opinion, just got a whole lot weaker, with the exception of the Raptors. I think the Knicks are one of the worst teams to win the finals within the past probably 15 years. But if I'm LeBron, you still have to get through San Antonio or you have to get through San Antonio or OKC out west. Whereas, you know, come to Cleveland, you have the Sixers, yeah. But like I said, I think Embiid really slows down that team. I think the Raptors are going to be tough. The Knicks are probably going to be tough. But other than that, Celtics just got worse. I don't really see any other team in the East that would really compete with the Cavs given the roster makeup.
Yeah, it's interesting, Scotty, and I agree with you on the most part, and I appreciate the call. I think I agree with you. I wouldn't agree on the Knicks point. I think the Knicks were, constructed the way that we looked at them in the beginning of the season. That might be closer to accurate that we didn't see them as they're going to go win the finals. It was still you ran through the West. I think, by the way, that team played in the playoffs. They're all the legitimacy of on the same level as basically every other team that has won the title for the last few years. But I do think that the East got better from the bottom up. I don't know that the top got any better. Like I don't know that we've gotten that. It might have gotten weaker. Like you might be right in that aspect because I don't think Boston's as good as they were 48 hours ago. And they got Mitchell Robinson, which is nice for them to add another big man. The Knicks are still going to be tough. Boston will still be fine. Philly will be better, but I don't know how great that actually is. Like I just can't be scared of Philly every single time. Their main trick up their sleeve is, hey, but we got Joel Embiid. Like, yeah, I'll believe Joel Embiid healthy when I see Joel Embiid healthy. Thank you very much. That is when I will turn my attention and expect anything to come out of it. But sure, they got better. I just don't know that they're great. And I think it's obviously easier to turn around and for LeBron to come through the East. You'll have tough teams. And again, I just don't know that I can look at it and be like, oh, your main roadblocks are the teams in the West when you haven't gotten through the teams in the East. You haven't even come close to getting through the teams in the East. And it's a different roadblock every year. 2 years ago, it was Boston. Last year, it was Indiana. This year, it was New York. It's like you've had every single team find a way to ascend farther than you without you actually taking that next step. And again, LeBron helps that a lot. You push forward. I think you do, enter the, you're definitely one of the top teams in the East conversation. I just don't know how much you push past this. And I also think a big part of this, too, and a major reason why I didn't want to move on from Evan Mobley is because every sign is pointing towards right now this being a one-year rental for LeBron. Like, we talked about the possibility of, the way LeBron's playing, he could absolutely probably go through and end up playing 2 years if he really wanted to. I don't think anybody would question whether or not LeBron from 2 years from now could still be a good player in the NBA. Like, again, there is a fall off. There is obviously, a difference between where LeBron was when he was in 2014 comparatively to where he is now. There's probably a slight difference from where he is now to where he would end up being if you were to flip it all the way to, 2 years out. I just still don't know how much realistically that exists and how much we have to put into that. Not to mention, we got reports kind of surrounding LeBron today that I think he's hiring a documentary crew for the upcoming season. And it's either going to be a documentary or, a series. That screams to me LeBron retirement tour. Okay, that is probably, I'm going to hire him for next season because that's going to be my way of going out. We're going to document what is my last year of my career trying to go on one final run. So LeBron is pointing towards that is just one final season. If you are going out and getting LeBron, you are signing him to a one-year contract. He is going to play out his final year. It is going to be a retirement tour. There is going to be a sold-out crowd every single place that we go next year. But your title window becomes, you either go and win one in one season or you're left with the ramifications of it. And that still might be, Donovan Mitchell on a re-signed contract. I don't know what the future holds for James Harden. But I know that I'd like a future after this. I would love to still see something landing out there for the Cavs to be excited for when I look forward to this team. And Evan Mobley has obviously not been the greatest player on the planet. But if I'm looking at one-year rental for LeBron, Evan Mobley is the closest thing I have to keep this team competitive. And everybody can make their claims. Oh, you got to go for it now. If your window is now, you got to make the full push for it. Yeah, that's great. We also know the way that the NBA just restructured the lottery. We also know that being one of the worst teams in the NBA, which without Evan Mobley, if this team decides James Harden wants to retire, Donovan wants to leave, and you're left with Jared Allen, is not a playoff team, very possibly one of the worst teams in the NBA. And if you are one of the worst teams in the NBA, well, your chances to end up with the number one pick aren't going to be great. Your chances to be drafting inside of the top five, not going to be great. You're going to get pushed down the board, and that's just not something you can push yourself into. You have to take into account. I know it's this minor thing, and we're like, oh, they're trying to fix tanking, and maybe this does something. It's not just about fixing tanking. Like, when you're running through the front office, you have to consider these things. And I think 1 year with LeBron, I don't think it really changes that much of your math. I think you still have to find a way to rebuild this team. You have to find a way to keep this team relatively cheap. You know, moving forward, a way that you can still operate outside of the second apron, still try to keep yourself competitive and in a window, but also have to keep yourself out of a post-LeBron basketball in the way that Cleveland has known it, which is basically throwing you into the depths of you have nothing to look forward to. I can't live with that. There's no reason I need to watch that. But a one-year rental with LeBron, this is, I mean, about as pressure-filled as a season will be. LeBron coming here is not without its own level of pressure. And I mean, the expectation, I think, for everybody in Cleveland immediately becomes LeBron comes here, we expect to be competing for a title. You expect to, I mean, probably win the NBA Finals. That's the goal you're laying out. You trade Evan Mobley, you're definitely expecting to go win an NBA Finals. So I just don't know that it's as simple as a move that everybody wants to make it out to be. This is everything riding on just one season for a team that is still yet to show that they can ascend and play with the best teams in the NBA. They have not showed up competitively in a playoff series in which they have been eliminated. That is a tough scene. That is something that is tough to overcome, and it appears like LeBron is at least looking at that and saying, I can make a difference there, and by God, I hope he can. But having 1 year to do it, trying to change the culture, this is not the old LeBron teams that we have known. This is not the LeBron takes over, runs the GM, and within 2 to 3 years, you have a dynasty. I mean, immediately you have a dynasty, but like obviously also within those 2 to 3 years, title can come. You have great things to look forward to for a couple of years still to go. This is, you got to do it in one offseason. And again, a lot of what the Cavs have done so far has been borderline concerning. They've let guys go. They've let guys walk. And yeah, sure, go get LeBron. Starting five looks really nice. Hey, that bench is going to become concerning very quickly. 216-474-0092. Do you think LeBron is a one-year rental? Let's go back out to the phones. BP's in Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake. You know, I was shocked about that Jaylen Brown trade. That's the first topic. I mean, I can't believe he went for Paul George and some draft picks that aren't going to amount to much. I mean, I think the Cavs were offering Donovan Mitchell, I would think, and he's a lot better than Paul George. And I'm sure we have some kind of future first round picks we can throw. You know, we could have thrown Boston's way. So I'm really disappointed in Kobe Altman. To me, like, there's a lot of layers to this, but he's number one. Like, what is he doing? I mean, I'm hoping he's got some kind of a grand plan to get LeBron James here. But if he doesn't, if they're just like running this back, like the Eastern Conference is getting better every day. Mm-hmm. And we're moving back like five or six, you know, we're moving back in the pecking order. I mean, now the Sixers are ahead of us. The Knicks are ahead of us. The Toronto Raptors have jumped ahead of us. You know, I mean, Boston's still going to be competitive. Indiana is going to be competitive. You know, so what are we doing here? What is Kobe Altman doing? I mean, so far he gets an F for the off season. I mean, I just don't know what this guy's plan is, but, you know, we could have had Jaylen Brown. I don't know what they're doing there. You know, Mike Gansey is doing a fantastic job in 1 week. He's done more in a week than Kobe Altman's done in a couple of years, to be honest. LeBron really should come back to Cleveland, but you just don't know what LeBron's thinking. He may want to go to Golden State. But I think if you add LeBron to this team, if you keep most of our role players, you know, I think we'll be fine. But if we don't get LeBron, you guys have said, you know, we've lost out on Giannis. We've lost out on Jaylen Brown. We've lost out on all the dominoes, you know. And I still don't get why Boston didn't trade Jaylen Brown. They had offers from New Orleans, from Atlanta, from Portland. I just don't understand. Like, you know, they basically just handed Philly like almost like the second seed in the NBA East.
Yeah, I'm really confused by the trade, and BP, we're up against it, but I appreciate the call. I mean, a lot of it makes me shake my head. I don't know, and I don't think that the Cavs were out there offering Donovan Mitchell. I don't think he was ever going anywhere. I don't think the Cavs were ever interested in moving him. As much as I can sit here and talk about it and say that it makes sense and I would do it, I don't think the Cavs were on that plane. But, I mean, I'm assuming it has to be the draft capital and getting a player that helps you compete now.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Keep cool out there, folks. It's going to be a hot one.
We the people love summer baseball. The food is over the top. The cheers come from the chest. We came with friends, but we met new ones. We have seats, but we're standing. They say it's anyone's game. But from what we can see, it's everyone's. Baseball for the people.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, I just think it's a massive downgrade for Boston. I don't think that he really did anything. And over the last couple of years, I would probably agree with you that Mike Gansey has done a little bit more. I also think Kobe's definitely bought his good graces by getting Donovan here, by getting James Harden here and being able to flip Darius if they don't think he's going to be healthy. Like, they have made moves. He has made big moves. It just has not panned out in the way that we have wanted it to. And sure, Kobe definitely gets an F right now through free agency. We're also, 25 hours into this thing? Okay, we can't be crowning free agency very quickly because I think F goes a lot closer to A if you end up landing LeBron. I think that takes it a lot of a way through this. But again, I want to hear from you guys. 216-474-0092. Do you think LeBron is a one-year rental? Because I certainly do, based on the reporting that we're getting that, again, Kevin O'Connor putting out. LeBron is in talks to document the entire upcoming season through either a documentary or a series. That screams to me one-year rental. Plus, we're going to talk a little bit of World Cup coming up here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. Station Buzz coming up here at 8 o'clock. The most pressing thing said by our station's guests today. But before we get there, we're going to continue to talk plenty of Cavs, plenty of LeBron. Especially coming up here at 8:20 in about 40 minutes, we're going to talk to Danny Cunningham of Locked On Cavs, our good friend, going to come in and talk to us about everything that's floating around right now at the Cavs, the Jaylen Brown trade. But I did want to take a quick break in that and talk about something that's starting and coming up in about 15 minutes. That would be the U.S. playing in the round of 32 against Bosnia and Herzegovina. And I just don't know. Maybe I just live in a sphere where people aren't paying as much attention to it. But I'm not feeling the excitement of people getting drummed up about the U.S. playing in the World Cup. You're past group stages. Group stages are obviously, and it kind of is what it is. Not that I think that the U.S. was necessarily a shoo-in. I figured they would probably win their group with the limited amount of soccer that I watch. But I figured they would probably come out. When your main target standing in front of you is turkey. It didn't really seem all that difficult. Felt like it was probably going to be okay. But now is where you're legitimately talking about it. I mean, Michael, I'll bring you in on this because you know more than I do when it comes to soccer. I know you're paying attention. I just don't know that everybody else is. But, like, the round of 16 alone is a little bit of an accomplishment for the U.S., right? Like, if they win tonight, not to say that it's like you're playing with house money after that, but that is considered like a progress, a good step for where U.S. soccer is at.
I wouldn't necessarily go that far. Like, I wouldn't say that this World Cup is a success for the U.S. if they just win tonight. Like, I think for a lot of people, it's they're going to have to win the next round. If you get to the quarterfinals and you go out to Spain, there's no harm done in that. Like, that team is better than you. They should beat you. They're expected to beat you. Like, there's no shame in that. Obviously, if they go out tonight, it's a massive disappointment, a massive failure. I mean, look, they're going to have to go through a pretty good European team in the round of 16. Obviously, Belgium winning today. Belgium crushed them a couple of months ago in a friendly. Different teams. It's a different environment. Different things could happen. But it is one of those things where I wouldn't say it's a win for most people that follow the team a whole lot. Like, they probably have to win two games. But I think that there's a good amount of buzz. I just think, especially for this game, they expect the U.S. to win, and they expect them to win handily. They're better than Bosnia. They should win this game by probably multiple goals, but they don't have a history of doing that. They have not beaten a European opponent in their last 10 games. They are 0-10, not even a draw.
That's
like, they've lost every single one. So this is a European opponent that they are better than. They have more talent than. They just have to go out there and do it, and I think most people expect them to do so.
See, but this is my problem. It's like, even if there's a lack of buzz around this game, it's like, why are we treating the round of 32 in the World Cup that comes around every 4 years that you're actively hosting, it is in your home country, and we're treating it like it's the NBA regular season? Like, there's 82 of them, who cares? Like, no! Like, it's a round of 32, like, people should be amped up about this. Like, we're going to have it on in the studio. I'm not that I'm going to be living and dying with every single minute in this game. I'm going to be paying attention. I'm excited for it. I'm going to be watching. Like, I'm not going to live and die by it, but I'm also not a big soccer person. But yeah. I feel like, if you were going to get drummed up for soccer, especially here, the MLS isn't doing anything for anybody. Like, every once in a while, people watch Messi play. You know, you get decent crowds out. Like, every once in a while, Inter Miami will come up and play at whatever we're calling it. Is it Huntington Bank still? Are we still at Huntington Bank Field?
Yeah,
at Huntington Bank Field. They'll come up. I don't know. It feels like it changed names like four times.
We're
not there
yet. We're a couple months away.
You know? Listen, we've been talking about the Dome. I don't know where we're at. But, okay, so, like, you'll get crowds for that. But, I mean, those are your soccer diehards. And there is definitely a population of soccer diehards that live in Cleveland. Like, you pick the right bar out in Lakewood.
We're getting an MLS next team next year. The Forest City, whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember what it
team
is.
But like, basically, it's like a minor league MLS team, like, that we're getting because of it's kind of a hotbed, and they're going to go play at the stadium right down the road. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I know there's enough buzz, but it just doesn't, like, even when I lived across the station, I don't know that on this entire day, on the day that the U.S. is playing in the World Cup past the group stage, I don't know that anybody actually talked about it on the station today. And if it was very little.
Yeah, again, it's one of those things that not a lot of people know a lot about, so they don't speak on it. Like, you don't want to sound like you're dumb on the air more than, you know, some of us already do. But it's just one of those things where you're not as knowledgeable about it. I think that there's a good amount of buzz. I get annoyed a lot of the fans that are dropping in as they do every 4 years, and then they just think that, oh, we're the U.S., we're the best, and we should just go win this thing. And then they get their expectations too high when they go out and play the way they did in the group stage, when really it's a lot more difficult than that. Like, I was talking with Anthony about it on Thursday. Like, in order for them to actually win this thing, not only do they have to win the next two games against opponents they can beat, they need three miracles in a row. Like, you're facing a gauntlet of Spain, then France, then Argentina. Like, you need three miracles in a row. That's not going to happen. So, like, you do need to kind of level your expectations.
Don't put the damper on it, Michael. Don't say it can happen.
It's not going to happen.
It probably won't. Like, I'm realistic. I understand the world of soccer enough to know that France is a powerhouse. Argentina has Messi. And, I mean, Spain is a really good team every single year.
Spain is the favorite coming in. Like, could they get one miracle and beat Spain in a quarterfinal? Like, sure, I could see that happening. Then are we going to say that they're going to beat France and beat Argentina? Like, I mean, yeah, if you want to dream big, go for it. I just, like, realize the fact that you are out of your depth and, like, not understanding the situation. Like, there are levels to this. And so, like, I'm not saying you can't be excited. Like, I'm excited for tonight because this is a big stage. They have not won a knockout game in a World Cup, at least since I've been alive. 2010, they lost. 2014, they lost. They didn't qualify in 2018. And then, obviously, in 2022, they lost. So, they have not won a knockout round game, at least since I have been paying attention to these. So, this is a big deal. It is a team that they can beat. I just think more people are looking almost ahead to this next game. Also, NBA free agency going on and all this other stuff, like, the casual fan who's coming into this first time, they got other stuff to focus on.
Okay, but there's things to focus on. But, like, I'm going to be doing both. I have to be paying attention to NBA free agency. Cavs news could break at any moment.
Yeah, like, LeBron could sign tonight. Who knows? Yes,
like, that could make happen on the air. Yeah. All the reason to stay tuned to 92 through the fan, by the way, because you just don't know. But, like, I have to pay attention. It's not going to stop me from watching this game. All you're doing paying attention to NBA free agency is refreshing social media every 10 minutes and trying to figure out if Shams tweeted something or not.
You can do that while watching a soccer game. Yeah. Like, it's totally, it's a sport kind of built for that because a lot of the game is built up. Now, of course, like, there are people that, like, that is part of the game. Like, you have to watch the buildup, but a lot of it's just passing back and forth to each other. Like, you can scroll on Twitter and just turn the alerts on.
Yeah.
And like guess what?
I stopped paying attention for 15 minutes, click on the alerts, see where my post notifications were. Same thing I do throughout the day. I'm sitting there going, oh, well, I don't even remember any of the big moves. Obviously, Jaylen Brown, but that happened while we were in the studio. What else happened today? Anything actually?
The Lakers just going nuts.
Yeah, like Rob Pelinka signing 4 free agents in the span of 30 minutes. I was like, oh, there's Walker Kessler. That's pretty nice. Oh, Quentin Grimes is there. Okay. Tally that one in my head. And again, like you said, this is a type of sport where if I have to sit back and I have to click and I go, oh, let me read the trade details that happened Walker Kessler. And I actually pay attention to the NBA and want to know these things. It's like, if I look away from the TV for 3 minutes, I could miss something. Logic and history is going to tell me that I'm probably missing the ball go up and down the field a couple of times.
Well, also, you could just do what I do a lot of times, which is, you know, if you're in, especially if you're a super casual soccer watcher, which there's no issue with that, and you don't care for the analysis, and you don't need to listen to the game per se, you can have it on and you can listen to us right here on 92.3 The Fan. If something breaks, we'll let you know.
We're like, both just company men.
We'll have you. Exactly. We have to be. But, like, we'll let you know. Like, yeah. there's multiple ways to get that type of information. I'm not saying this is happening because, like, the people that are focused on this are very locked in on this. I just, like I said, like, Anthony Alant just texted me. He is at an establishment right now, like, in a crowd of USA fans, like, watching this game. Like,
wonderful.
Awesome. Like, as yeah, it should, like, it's cool.
It is a type of thing, again, like, I'm not saying you got to be a diehard soccer fan. Like, there's nothing wrong with being a casual soccer fan and paying attention to the World Cup.
No.
Like, I am not an active bobsledding fan and paying attention to what's happening around the world, but you better damn believe that when the Olympics come around, I'm going to sit there and watch the bobsled like I'm the most knowledgeable person in the world, and I live and die with it. Yeah. Because it's just one of those things that it comes around every 4 years and you care about. And maybe you shouldn't. Maybe it's dumb, but you care about. Every other country cares about this thing through the roof. Like, listen, when you talk about, like, turning off the TV sound, I did that earlier today. I was watching England play. Yeah,
that was an incredible game, by the way.
Yeah.
That game was awesome.
I was sitting there listening to the station, you know, catching up on some of the things I'd missed in the morning. And I'm sitting there going through it. I'm listening. I'm prepping for my show. And on my TV in the background, I have a muted World Cup game, and I'm paying attention to it. It's like I didn't miss a single thing. I'm able to watch it out of, like, the corner of my eye / pay attention to different moments, and it's fun. Like, and I have missed several, very many of the World Cup games. I've tuned in for a handful of them and been able to watch. Like, I'm not living and dying with every single game, paying attention to the results, and it's something I feel like we should be doing. Again, U.S. isn't in it. I don't care if you watch the World Cup or not. Like, whatever, right? Like, if we didn't qualify or got knocked out in groups and you don't want to pay attention to this, by every single means, I think you do not have to pay attention if you do not care. Like, I'm somebody who probably still watches. Like, again, I'm watching England play the Congo earlier. I'm watching Belgium play Senegal.
My dad's going to watch the game tonight, and he's not a soccer guy. He always laughs at me about how much I watch it, but it's one of those things, like, he will watch because he'll get super patriotic. And it's like, this is us against the world, literally. Like, this is our time. And this is the knockouts. Like, this is win or go home. Like, there is, if they lose tonight, they are out on home soil in a tournament they are hosting. Like, there is a lot on the line in this game, regardless of whether they're favored to win, which they are. But, like, there is so much riding on this for them to bring more interest to this sport in the country. Yes. Like, that's what this World Cup's about. It's about making it more popular and having some of these younger kids, some of these great athletes turn around and say, hey, maybe I want to play that, and making these teams better for future runs. It's not about the present. And so far, I think they've done a good job of doing that. But tonight's like another big game. It's a step in the right direction, is winning a knockout game. You have to do it.
And again, if you want to tell me, you know, during regular season soccer, I don't care how they do their season with tables, and basically a regular season champ just is a champ. That's how it works. And you care for the playoffs? Like, this is the playoffs. Like, we are in playoff soccer right now. It is win or go home. This is as good. This is the equivalent. It might not be as interesting to the NFL as you, but this is the NFL playoffs. You get one game and one game only. You play like crap, you lose, and you're done.
Guardians already played tonight. Already played today.
There's like, nothing there is competing other than the sounds of our voice.
If you want to watch sports, this is the only thing that should have your attention tonight. It should be. They've earned it, and, like, that's it.
Like you said, we'll continue to be company men one more time. Turn on the game, hit the mute button if you don't care about it. Listen to us. It's still good. It's still a good time.
And if LeBron makes a decision, we'll let you know.
We will definitely have that. We will not miss it, I promise you. All right. You shouldn't be paying attention to the World Cup tonight. That is my final plea. But coming up here in 5 minutes, we're going to get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today with the Station Buzz right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
As the school year ramps up, so does the time your family spends online, whether it's helping with homework, managing busy schedules, or staying connected. It's a great time to refresh your digital life, but you need a digital sidekick that works quietly in the background without slowing you down. That's where Webroot comes in. Webroot offers flexible protection for individuals and families, from standalone products to all-in-one bundles. While you handle the back-to-school rush, Webroot works to block harmful websites before you click, keeps your password secure and easy to manage, and even optimizes your devices to keep them running smoothly. It's fast, light, and effective protection designed for your everyday life. Go to webroot.com/odyssey to get 60% off today. That's webroot.com/odyssey. Live a better digital life with Webroot, because peace of mind shouldn't be optional. Visit webroot.com/odyssey today to get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com/odyssey.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best. Let's go! Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!